This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
All natural on a Thursday morning with Adam Barrella, where we talk about all things to do with the environment and what you can do to help it out. And as a great man once said, or actually it was a green frog called Kermit, it's not easy being green, but it is slightly easier when we have great foundations and organisations such as the WWF. Now, I'm not talking about the old wrestling federation, but I'm talking about the Worldwide Fund for Nature. And on the line with me right now is Lydia Gibson, who's the policy manager for Tropical Marine and Coast. She's also a marine biologist who's deeply involved in a campaign to save the coral sea. Lydia, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us today.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's a great pleasure. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Now, I'm looking at my map of Australia at the moment. Where exactly am I going to find the Coral Sea?
The Coral Sea actually sits just off the northeast coast of Australia. It's simply adjacent to the Great Barrier Reef. And Australia's portion of the Coral Sea is bounded by New Caledonia in the east and also the southern extremities of the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea as well in the northern area.
So it's quite large because I believe it's about 800,000 square kilometres.
Yeah, actually, we've had a little bit of a recalculation, and the area that we're looking at is closer to 1 million square kilometres.
Wow, which is a lot bigger than the Great Barrier Reef, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's about three times the size of the Great Barrier Reef, which is the equivalent of four times the size of Great Britain.
Wow, my God.
Pretty amazing.
Now, of course, in such a large space, there is a vast array of marine life. I believe there's sharks, there's manta rays, tuna, turtles, whales, and all different things. But one that I'm really interested in that I believe hangs around the Coral Sea is the hammerhead shark.
Yeah, they're absolutely fascinating creatures. They actually obviously get their name from, if you're looking from them above, they look very much like a hammer. On their head, they've got these projections either side where their eyes and nostrils actually sit at the end of these projections, but they resemble a hammer.
Yeah. Now, why have they got such an unusual shaped head? Is that of any use to them?
Well, there's several theories floating out there, and I'll just run through a couple of them. One of them is that it acts like a lift for them when they're swimming, very much like an aeroplane wing does. And also, there's been some indications that it could be involved in helping to trap prey.
Okay.
One of the hammerhead's favourite food is a stingray. And so the idea is that when they locate a stingray, the hammerhead pins the ray to the ground and then starts eating it. It's been observed in the wild, but it still hasn't been studied enough. And the final explanation, which is also pretty well supported within the scientific research, is it's also for detecting prey. All sharks have these amazing little electrical sensors in their nose and heads, and so for hammerheads, if they have this broad flat head, these sensors are able to be spread out over a larger, greater surface area, and so it means that they can cover more ground and they can sense their prey easily and be able to detect those stingrays that are actually hiding away in the sediment of the floor of the ocean.
Gotcha. So even though there's a few explanations, it definitely looks like it is a benefit of some kind.
Yeah, certainly, yeah.
Now,
certainly.
Another interesting thing I've found about the hammerhead sharks is I believe mating is quite a violent affair.
Yeah, there's been evidence, unlike a number of other shark species, they actually mate internally, and the males will actually bite a female until she pretty much gives in before mating, and often you can tell if a mating has happened recently because you'll get fresh scars on those females. So, yeah, it can be considered violent.
My God. But I know that the females have actually found a way to live without men.
It's really interesting new research. It was found in around about May 2007. And basically a female gave birth to some baby hammerheads in a zoo when she hadn't actually been in contact with a male at all. So this was like the first confirmed case in shark species that of asexual reproduction, essentially, which is amazing. But really, you know, it's really important to realize that they wouldn't actually be able to exist without males per se, because obviously if there aren't any males around, then there's a lack of genetic diversity should females just reproduce asexually all the time.
Got you. Do we know if they're actually doing that in the wild? How often? Or?
No, it's not really known at all. That's some area that needs to be further explored.
Got you. Now, back to the Coral Sea. I believe at the moment it's actually unprotected.
Yeah, there's a couple of areas that do have protection, but in the large, in the main, it really is unprotected. One of the fascinating coral things about the Coral Sea is, as you've mentioned before, it's a hotspot for marine biodiversity, and it really is one of the last areas in the world where you get this, you know, pristine wildlife. But at the same time, it is unprotected, and there are threats that are looming on the horizon. As with the rest of the marine environment globally, there's threats of potential oil and gas exploration, threats of climate change. We've already seen some evidence of bleaching on one of the reefs out there. And there's also, of course, this potential for overfishing, and in particular illegal fishing out in the Coral Sea.
Can you explain to me a little bit more about how global warming will actually affect coral seas?
Well, for the Coral Sea, basically, there's a lot of isolated reefs out there. It's a big oceanic area where you've got these seamounts that are rising from depths of 2,500 meters, and where coral proliferates. And if there's a climate change and the oceans warm up, then the coral can expel their pseudanthellae, which are the little animal parts, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then the coral can start to die because it won't be getting the nutrients that it needs. And so within the Coral Sea, this is particularly dangerous because, unlike, say, for example, you've got the Great Barrier Reef, where coral reefs are sat quite closely to each other, there's a severe problem in the fact that these reefs are isolated. So if there's a bleaching event, then it's, you know, it's harder for the corals to actually recover.
Gotcha.
And to be repopulated. Yep.
So because it's such a it's got such that marine diversity, I guess it's really important to protect that whole area, is that right?
Yeah, I think we're in Australia's in a fantastically unique position that we do have this rare example of a thriving marine environment that is basically a cradle of life, and it feeds into some of the neighbouring marine regions such as New Caledonia, even in the Great Barrier Reef and down to New South Wales, and it's, you know, it supports life in those areas. But, you know, we've got this opportunity to protect it. To protect it now before irreversible damage is done. And that's one of the, you know, the fantastic things about working on this campaign, is this opportunity.
So tell me a little bit about what WWF is actually trying to get the Australian government to do.
Well, essentially, we're trying to get the Australian government to declare the Coral Sea a marine protected area to safeguard this underwater sanctuary for future generations. And so we want large areas of high protection to protect those endangered species such as the green turtles and those oceanic pelagic sharks that migrate long distances.
Okay, got you. So what's your role in the actual campaign?
Oh, well, working with my fantastic team, I'm actually I'm essentially heading up the Coral Sea campaign, and it's kind of a multifaceted approach. I'll be working sometimes in Parliament House, meeting with the politicians, through to working with our fantastic media team, trying to get the messages about the Coral Sea and what a fantastic place this is, and then also working with the scientists to really build the scientific case of how important it is that we save the Coral Sea.
Because that scientific evidence is really going to hold up quite well to people like politicians, yeah, and things like that, not just,
yeah,
we like
course.
It because it's pretty.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Now, yeah, you need the scientific evidence.
Yes. Now, we've got people listening at the moment. If they feel the urge that they want to help contribute as well, what can they do?
Well, of course, to first of all, find out more about the campaign, just go to our website, www.org.au/Coral Sea. But one of the things you can do is just, you know, write to the Australian government and in particular the Environment Minister Peter Garrett, and urge him to declare the Coral Sea one of the world's largest marine park. And also to just write to even to your local MPs and encourage them to urge the minister to protect the coral sea and show that you're passionate about it. And then from everyday life, it's all about, you know, protecting the environment. So just anything that you can do to reduce your impact on the environment is also very valuable.
Because that's basically something that the WWF promotes overall, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, can you tell me a little bit, because this is the first time I've actually chatted to anyone from the WWF, what's the WWF about?
WWF, essentially, we are one of the largest international and independent conservation organisations, and we've got about 5 million supporters worldwide and a global active network that's in 100 countries. But essentially, our fundamental goal is to stop the degradation of the planet's natural environment and to build a future in which humans live in harmony with nature. And we do this by trying to conserve the world's biological diversity, by ensuring that the use of renewable natural resources is actually sustainable, mm-hmm. and also promoting the reduction of pollution and wasteful consumption. So, for example, in Australia, we work in a number of areas to try and work on these fundamental goals, and that's from land clearing, climate change issues, to fresh water, to the marine and the land environments. And our approach is really just to work with everybody, work with local communities, work in partnership with the government and industry, and just use the best possible science to advocate change and effective conservation policy, essentially.
So you're a big supporter of making sure that there's scientific evidence to really stand up,
definitely. And it's great from a marine biologist point of view, it's great for me to be able to utilize my skills and understanding the scientists because other things to actually get the messages out there
and to make a real difference.
It's great.
Well, Lydia, thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat to us today.
Thank you.
Good luck with the campaign. I'm sure you will do very well, and I would urge everyone who's listening at the moment to either write to Peter Garrett or their local MP and get them to declare the Coral Sea a marine protected area as soon as possible.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Bye.
That's Lydia Gibson. She's the policy manager for the WWF for the Tropical Marine and Coast. She's also a marine biologist who's deeply involved in the campaign to save the coral sea. If you'd like to find out more about it, go to wwf.org.au/coral sea.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.